Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's a Hard Knicks Life. It is a Hard Knicks Life. A Hard Knicks Life. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Life. It's a Hard Knicks Life. It is a Hard Knicks Life. A Hard Knicks Life.
We can take our shirts off for this one, guys. We can, because there's no YouTube. Take it off. Get naked.
Oh, what a relief.
Let's celebrate. Isn't it nice?
Dude, you know, this song has a different vibe when you're, like, winning a playoff series than it normally does.
Oh, winning a playoff series now.
A series?
There we go.
That's a little bit of a jump there.
Leading in a playoff series.
Oh, okay.
What up, Knicks fans? And what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hooper. What's up, Jay?
Good day to you as well, Craig.
You don't have to leave us any ratings or reviews. We don't care anymore, right? Do we care?
No.
I mean, it'd be nice.
Doesn't matter anymore. Because you know what the only thing that matters right now? I don't even care. Should they subscribe? Do we need them to subscribe, guys? Doesn't matter.
Whoever needs to be here is here right now.
This is the one fucking podcast, guys, that isn't afraid to call it right now. Knicks in four, motherfuckers! Woo! That's right!
Whoa.
Knicks in four.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to get into it. But first, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. That's right. Even though it's over, that's still the motherfucking script, Barry.
It is.
Believe sent.
How's that possible? Well,
you should change
it. That's what I said. Believe sent the script. I go to my emails to check before every show to make sure. And I look down, it's the same script. But they did say in the email, maybe you want to replace the college basketball with something about the NBA playoffs. Believe, could you just
maybe
fucking
you could
update?
Bet on.
Can you just update the fucking script? Is it that hard? Is it that hard? Well, Barry, did you make any bets? Blets? Did you make any bets for playoffs yet?
I made two.
And?
I made that Julius Randle would score a three pointer as the first basket of the game, which was close, but it didn't happen.
Ah. Okay.
So, you know, those are big odds. Those bets. So those are fun. And the other one was that the Knicks would win, getting 4.5 points. Which they did.
Well, my bet is still alive, boys. My $100 bet.
You.
15. How many more wins do I need? 15.
Quite a few. So 15. Vegas is still on the
15
table.
15 sounds easy, Craig.
All right, guys. If you want to bet online. It's your college basketball headquarters this season. All right? Head to the website today to use your...
I think you mean next season.
And next season. Yeah. Whenever. When it's happening, when it's not happening. Go to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up and get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV to get your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Guys, we're back. The Knicks are back in the fucking playoffs. Julius Randle is back with a vengeance. Doing this. What was he doing to the Cleveland crowd?
He was saying, come on, I'll take on the villain. I'll take it on right now. This is game one. I'm here. Bring it on, motherfuckers.
This game was shades of the 90s Knicks. That, getting under the skin of Mitchell there. Mitchell gave him a shove.
Yeah.
Coming up with big boards. Josh Hart. I thought he was going
to
go down with
Isaac Okoro taking a bunch of elbows to the face.
I thought Josh Hart went down with a season-ending knee injury for a second. And he comes
oh, my God,
back.
That was scary.
He didn't even come out of the game.
If he would have come out of the game, the series is as good as over, man. He is the bloodline of this fucking team, the role that
so
he plays.
Good. He came back and hit that clutch three. Oh, how important is he? 17 points.
He's as important
rebounds,
as anybody.
RJ Barrett, 2 for 12. Emmanuel Quickly, 0 for 5. But guys, Jalen Brunson. Of course, we come to the series and everyone's, you know, I think a lot of Knicks fans are, you know, obviously we missed out on Donovan Mitchell this offseason, but Jalen Brunson has proven to be just as good, just as important. Who knows where we'd be if we had Donovan Mitchell, but we don't. We have Jalen Brunson, and it was our team who came out on top tonight.
If we win this series, are we still going to have to listen to people talking about that
like
anymore?
Like Stephen A.
Or
Smith?
No? Or is that just, or does this put, or would that put it to bed?
I think it's to bed. It's to bed.
There's
anyway.
No better way to put it to bed.
I know that, in my opinion, it is, but you still have people whining and moaning and complaining about what happened. But like, you would think if we're able to move past them, that will be the end of it.
I think a lot of people have moved past it already because you know that you would have had to given up some type of combination that included either a Quentin Grimes and or an Emmanuel Quickly, and they were so vital to how this team operated and functioned and won and the reasons that they were successful this year and like created the identity that they are. So, I mean, I think most people got over it, you know, about three quarters of the way through the season, if not earlier.
Yeah, and like, who knows where he'd be if it was Donovan Mitchell. Jalen Brunson is the perfect fit for this team.
It could be completely different.
Yeah. The leadership, the grit, I mean, it could be completely different. He does have the ball in his hands, but he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to dominate. He's sharing. Dude, it's a marriage made in heaven. Nobody's
arguing that Jalen Brunson is as good as Donovan Mitchell, you know, especially like overall offensively as good as Donovan Mitchell, but do you feel like Jalen Brunson can't go toe-to-toe with Donovan at this point, like in this particular series? We saw him do it last game in the regular season. We saw him do it tonight. I feel like anytime Donovan Mitchell comes down the court, you know, and starts putting on his own show, Brunson is right there and can go toe-to-toe to him. I'm confident in that, you know, for him to throw punches back at him.
Absolutely. Jalen Brunson has been so good at the end of these games. He had that bucket that put him up 4, right? And then he's just in control. But how long was Julius Randle out for? And he comes right back. He started off a lot better than he finished. Ended up 7 for 20, but 19 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Had that huge rebound towards the end of the game, guys, when it looked like it was fucking slipping away. Or it looked like it did slip away.
Yeah.
It felt like it.
I was like, I mean, Jay, was that when your son was sitting by you when they started
No, it was, I think, the beginning of the fourth quarter, I think, is when I texted you for that. So it was before they had started to collapse.
Dude, I was doing a lot of my superstitious shit. I sent you some drawings on my iPad, right? So during halftime, I took my iPad out and was drawing some shit for that other project. And then when the third quarter started, I was still doing a little doodling, and the Knicks were playing well. So then I felt like I couldn't stop doodling. So I had my iPad out, and I'm just like drawing like whatever at like for like 45 minutes, just to keep it going.
Well, I had been watching with Callum the whole game, and Ryan had been upstairs, and then he starts walking down the stairs at one point as it was falling apart. And I was like, whatever you're doing, I said, just stop. And he just kept walking because he didn't believe me. And it was right as then Hart hit the three. And then I said, all right, I said, you are glued to that spot on the floor until this game is over. You cannot move.
My daughter.
You know, what does he know? He's 14. He's looking at me like I've got 10 heads. And I'm like, I'm not joking at all. Do not move from that spot.
I told my whole family, I'm on the couch tonight. At 6 o'clock, watching the game for 2.5 hours, Nobody's bothering me. And then my daughter, who's only six, comes up and snuggles right up to me in the fourth quarter when it was like falling apart. I didn't have
get over
I did not have the heart to say anything, but I inside I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're ruining this whole game. I'm going to lose because of you, goddammit. But somehow we came through, Barry. How are you feeling after that win? That was the first... Did I hear this right? Was that the first Knicks road playoff win since 1999? How could that
be? It was their first road game one win.
Oh, the first road game one win. I knew that sounded impossible. So who the fuck gives a shit about that?
First road game one win in a non...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that feels year. That's like one of those stats you find out, and then you're like, all right, I'm just going to toss this one out because it's not worth even fucking saying
how
out
many,
loud.
How many game ones on the road in the playoffs have we even had in the past?
Since 10? Then?
How many playoff
not
games
much, Craig.
Three? Like three of them?
It's ridiculous. But who cares? It's still huge, man. To take the lead in this series that you know is going to be tight. If the Knicks have any chance, I know you said the Knicks in four, and obviously it's tongue in cheek. If the Knicks have any chance of winning this series, we know it's going to be a long series, six or seven games.
That was not tongue in cheek.
Fine. Let me talk sure. To people five. That have any common sense.
Like
Jay. We know if the Knicks have any chance to win this series, it's going to be a long series if they do it. So to come out 1-0 is huge. It's enormous, you know, to be ahead right now. And like you said, it got dicey towards the end. To be up 10 and then to go down, you know, with only like between 2 and 3 minutes to go, they really played great and you know, took the win from a
Did
good
they?
Team.
They played great? Dude, we won game one on the road in Cleveland against a higher seed. Without playing great.
Look, you could say that,
we couldn't shoot
you know,
for shit.
The Cavs
so,
had
I mean,
their own issues as well. You know, as good as Mitchell was and as good as Garland looked through most of the game, they had a lot of other areas where, you know, they struggled immensely.
They both did. Both teams did. But guys that, I mean, we know RJ is not consistent, but terrible offensively tonight.
Did not play well.
Just not a lot of production from Grimes, Barrett, Robinson, quickly. Like key parts that you do expect a little more.
That's a good point. And the fact that our bench outscored their bench 37-14, and that's with quickly giving you 3 points. Okay. And he's usually the guy that's leading that squad. I mean, you compare the benches of these teams. We've got quickly, we've got Hart. We got Hartenstein, we got Obi. They've got coming off the bench LeVert, Wade, Rubio, and Chetty Osmond. So, I mean, that's a clear-cut edge that the Knicks are going to have throughout this entire series. And you're right. Where we usually get our production from, we didn't get it from this game.
Yeah, I mean, their starters play. You look at their starters' minutes. They don't play their bench much. 44 minutes for Mitchell, 43 minutes for Garland, 43 minutes for Allen, 38 for Mobley. Like, what happens as the series goes on? And the Knicks bench is what they are. And we're our guys, Thibodeau, who we all think he plays our guys too much or used to think that way. I think Thibodeau's in our good graces now.
They
but 34
seven,
minutes was the max. That was Randall tonight. 34
seven
minutes.
Guys play 10 minutes or more. That's it. For the Cavs. Yeah. I mean, they're playing 9 guys, but 2 of those guys barely played at all.
Yeah,
I mean,
when you combine the amount of minutes that their starters are going to be playing for the reasons you just said and the proof you just showed, you know, with this particular game as the prime example, combine that with how much they're going to get beat up by this Knicks team that plays so tough, you know, Randall pounding everybody. The entire team is a tougher, stronger team than these guys are over there. You know, you got Allen and Mobley who, you know, as good as they are, you know, nobody's calling them tough players. They're you know, they're thin, frail guys. You know, Garland, Mitchell, those guys. But then you look at the Knicks, you know, with Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, who's a warrior, Julius Randle, who proves it day in and day out, RJ even, you know, Hartenstein, Robinson, who battles. They're going to put a pounding to this Cavs team. And it's going to, you know, we hope it's going to tire them out.
If you look at the numbers, we got 90 minutes out of our bench approximately, and they got 48.
Yeah, you got to hope that 36
of that was from two people.
Got to hope that the longer the series goes, like that ends up becoming a huge advantage. Now, I'm saying four, but it does go long. I really do think we can win this in like five games. No joke. But if this does go long, you got to think that gives us a bit of an advantage because of those reasons. But dude, MVP of the game, are we all in agreement? It's got to be Josh Hart, right?
He was amazing.
Great game.
Has to be. I could not believe when he stayed in the game. And he literally made that three limping.
He looked like he was great. At first, I thought he was so... When that happened in real time, he made the three. I thought he was smiling. Then they showed the replay. And because he was grimacing after he made that three. He was in pain. He was playing through.
Incredible. And then Quentin Grimes, I saw a tweet by someone. Quentin Grimes got put on Donovan when he came back in the game. And I don't think Donovan scored again. And Donovan was on fire.
Yeah.
38 points for Donovan Mitchell. I guess he was on fire. 14 for 30 from the field. 6 for 16 from three. Just felt like he was. He brought them all the way back.
Yeah. No, he had a huge, a bunch of shots down the stretch. Yeah, that was inching them back. A couple of big threes. He was doing his thing.
And I was thinking during this game when Randall got off that good start and the Knicks got off to a good start in general, because I know that, I mean, it was like a month ago or so, we were all thinking, like, what is there a chance we could surpass Cleveland and get home court? And everyone was debating, would you rather have home court or start on the road? Obviously, you'd want home court, but maybe blessing in disguise here that the Knicks were able to start on the road, not have that pressure. It's not a must win. You can't lose the home court advantage. You know, Randall gets to get away from, I don't know, we all feel like sometimes he struggles at home. It was good getting, I mean, could it be any better getting that first
No,
win
I mean, obviously you like can't, you can't win a series unless you win a road game. It's impossible. So the fact that they already secured the fact that it's, you know, that they can do it now. Yeah, it's huge.
Jalen Brunson went down early with those two fouls, right? And then it got a third and only played 9 minutes in the first half.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
I mean, just a lot of and quickly did nothing. Like, you put all this together. It is very shocking, even though I predicted a sweep, that they pulled through. Just that they had a lot of stuff going against them. Randall's first game back in a while. Foul trouble, early foul trouble for their leader. Quickly, their sixth man doing nothing. RJ doing nothing. It's a really interesting game, and they just pulled it through with their grit.
Yep, and one of the keys to this game, you know, besides Josh Hart, was, and it's really been true for the Knicks this entire season, was rebounding. You know, they out-rebounded the Cavs 51-38. On the offensive glass, 17-11. Josh Hart and Robinson had 5 apiece, okay, on the offensive glass. So, and that was huge for them, as it always is. You know, and the Cavs knew this going into the game. You know, their coaching staff talked about it going into the game, that was one of the Knicks' strength that they were going to have to try to combat, and they still couldn't do it.
Yeah, did you see that? You hear that soundbite from Mitchell Robinson this past week when he was asked about their bigs? Did you hear that one in the locker room? You didn't hear that one?
Jay,
he was asked about playing against such a big front court like Mobley and Jared Allen.
Yeah.
And how you contend with that. And Mitchell was like, you see our guys? See, we got a few big guys too. Like, we're pretty good too. Well, yeah, they proved it tonight. 51-38 against these two big, really good guys. Mitchell Robinson 6-8 on the night. No blocks. Not a big game for Mitchell, but Isaiah's been playing so well off the bench that they're just combined, they're doing a great job.
He missed two shots, too. I wonder when the last time was that Mitch missed two shots in a game.
Oh, well, there was the alley-oop that he missed, right, which would have been awesome.
And that layup. You know, he had missed that layup, that like easy layup.
Yeah,
wide open layup. Yep.
Yeah.
Blandy, did you pull some sound for us? Or one more thing?
I did. I'm getting it ready. One more thing on our bench versus theirs. Our bench was plus 44, and their bench was minus 36.
Oof.
So.
Wow.
I mean, that's bad.
It's crazy.
For them, clearly. I've got some sound here. I've got 6 different clips. let's see, just talking about, since we were just talking about our guys and our big guys, this is actually from the Cavs. This is Darius Garland just talking about the physicality of the Knicks.
Well, New York is a physical team, so we have to be more physical than they are down the stretch. We have to hit first, and I think we just kind of just laid down a little bit and just let them just get a couple important offensive rebounds, and I think that's what changed the game.
Wow, so soft-spoken.
Yeah. He talked about earlier in the, like, before that part, just about how the Knicks came out and hit them first, and they just, they weren't able to recover. Let's see what else we got here. Let's, here's Jalen Brunson on Josh Hart. Let's hold on. It's kind of low. The question you can never hear, of course.
No, so just leave it in there. It makes a lot of sense. Is someone talking right now? Is that Jalen?
Yeah.
Okay, forget this one. Can't hear it.
All right, I got what? I mean, this is from Twitter, so it's
what else do you have? Right, it's the
I've got Obi on Jalen Brunson. Hopefully this sounds better.
The last 2 minutes of the game, how would you describe the execution from Jalen in terms of organizing his team?
A special player, for sure. Put the ball in his hand. It's going to be a lot of good that's going to come out of this. So it's a great, great play.
Okay, wow. Good quality audio coming from you, Blandy.
How about
Obi?
From Twitter. I've got other
Obi
stuff.
Obi had 14 minutes, 9 points, 4 boards. Good to see. I mean, he obviously finished the season just like he seems to do every season when he finally gets minutes. Yeah. Finished off the season real strong. And he had, I think he earned that playing time tonight. Who knows if he would have even played if he didn't finish the season.
Hit like three, that. Ran the break, and got, you know, that dunk. You know,
he played well. He did what he does, you know.
He had one dunk. Didn't you think it should have been like an and one? His like legs were taken out from him underneath him and he went down.
Well, yeah, well, for most of this game, the whistle wasn't being blown. You know, the refs just swallowed the whistle. They weren't calling anything. And then, you know, then finally it went the opposite way.
All right, Blandy, what
I've got more
what other shit
wanna,
do you want to play on? Is there anything good you got?
I've got Tibbs talking about the win and how they have to play better if they want to.
All right, let's hear from Tibbs.
Cleveland goes up one in the last two.
So again, it's the no. What is going? Something must have happened because this is not how bad it was when I got. You can't even hear it. It's weird.
This is fantastic. All right, Barry, why don't you tell us as Tibbs how the game was tonight?
Well, you know, when you're playing a team like the Cavaliers, they got a lot of talent. You know, you got to box out. You got players like Mobley, Jared Allen, and they're going to make your work for it, you know. But you got to take a win like this. You got to learn from it. You know, you can't just rest. You got to look ahead. We're going to look at the film. We're going to get back there and, yeah.
What'd you think about Tibbs? What'd you think about Derrick Rose tonight on the bench?
Derrick's been great for us.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps the seat warm for the guys when they come back, you know, into the timeout. The way he claps his hands, you can't really hear it on the audio on the TV, but it's got this great sound, like Snap. He's standing off on the side of a putting Snap green at a golf course.
Wow. I'm looking, by the way, on Twitter right now, and yeah, that's how horrible the video is from, it's the Knicks video is from SNY. It's all
right,
pretty
Blandy.
Bad.
Let's listen to some voicemails. Do you have? Okay. Unless you've got something.
I do want to say
that. Do you have something audible?
There is a clip of Bickerstaff talking about how the bench has to give them a spark if they're going to.
Barry, do we want to hear it? Do we want to hear it?
No.
Yeah, and it's again the audio quality is not so great. That's why I'm. Let me just see if this one.
Did you find all these clips for Blandy, Barry? All that work you put in for nothing.
Yeah, they're no good. None of them are any good.
For you, RJ, you know, the shot's not falling.
They
this sound
one
good
RJ
on my
is
iPhone,
good.
Craig.
Yeah, what's I don't understand.
The RJ one is from the locker room. It's not none of the ones from the actual press conference sound any good. The RJ one is from the locker room.
You think that on Twitter everyone's posting audio that you can't hear?
Yeah, I want to hear it. RJ's probably, even though they won, he's probably depressed. I want to hear a depressed RJ.
Okay.
I'm sure he better be depressed with himself.
Should be.
And for you, RJ, you know, the shot's not falling the way you wanted it to today. You know that. But the six assists, the fourth field, I mean, the way that you were able to impact this game, doing everything else, how would you describe the little things it took to get this one done?
Man, you know, just from top to bottom. You know, I didn't have my shot going tonight, but, you know, I was able to, you know, make plays, you know, play defense. You know, so doing everything, that's how you win games, you know, hustle, and it's really a team effort.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we need more from RJ.
All right, you want the voicemails?
Yeah, let's do the voicemails. Let's see what we got. Okay. We got a couple here from before the game tonight, but I thought it was important to play. One's a first-time caller.
Okay.
And then Dr. Dickey called in with a life update, guys. Life update.
So then what do you want me to go with first?
Let's do Dr. Dickey first.
Okay.
Yo, Dr. Dickey here. What up, gentlemen? Been a minute. Been real busy. Have paid attention to the pods. Have not been able to call in or anything like that, though. But just wanted to fill y'all in real quick. Yesterday was my last day at Crumble. I quit the job to start my own music record label. So we're going for the dream. But it's neither here nor there. Hope the pod's going to do well. I'm one episode behind, but I'll catch up later. All right. Peace.
Dr. Dickey was going up the corporate ladder at Crumble. Didn't he become a manager in spite of shitting in his pants at the store within months? And now he has left.
Yeah. He said he quit. Like, is that what you do when your parents are in charge? Do you really quit, or how does that work?
I think you can still quit. Yeah. Why can't he quit?
Does he have to give them 2 weeks notice or no? How does that work?
I'm really curious about this record label. Dickie did send me some beats, and they were pretty good. I sent them to you guys.
Did you
think it was good?
It's good.
You liked it?
Yes.
I got into it.
So he's looking to, like, find artists, I guess?
That's what I thought. That's what I thought when he said, when he left this voicemail, but maybe he's making beats and hoping to sell them?
Well, good luck to him.
No more slinging cookies for Dr. Dickey. All right, Blandy, go to, I think, Eric.
Okay, first time caller, Eric.
Hello, my name is Eric. This is my first time calling. Live in upstate New York. I'm calling you on Saturday, April 8th, so we'll probably hear from you guys in about a month. I've had a few Miller Lights, so just bear with me for one moment. I'll keep it short. I just want to say one freaking thing. Emmanuel Quickly is the sixth man of the freaking year, and I'm tired of this fucking narrative that he started too many games. Because I'll tell you what, Lou Williams, when he started 19 games, we didn't hear that. Lamar Odom, when he started 35 games, we didn't hear that. Manu Ginobili, greatest sixth man of all time, started like 23 freaking games. Come on, man. And it's just this anti-Knicks agenda, man. The Knicks have been the punching bag of Twitter because they have stunk forever. But now we're freaking good and people don't know how to fucking deal with it. So deal with it, people. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Put some respect on Emmanuel Quickly's name. Thanks for taking my call. It's a Hard Knicks freaking life.
Wow, Eric.
Eric, very passionate about the Sixth Man of the Year award.
Do you guys give a shit who wins the Sixth Man of the Year? And if Quickly doesn't win the Sixth Man of the Year, does that mean people don't respect him?
No.
I do think there's a lot of crap, on at least on Twitter, about how Malcolm Brogdon should be the winner because Quickly started too many games. But I think it should be Quickly. I mean, because clearly, like, Brogdon's not – he's not really the Celtics' sixth man. Quickly is the sixth man. The whole idea of the sixth man is somebody who can move up and take that starting spot if necessary. The guy who's coming right off the bench, the first one off the bench. I do think that there's a little bit of anti-Knicks stuff against it, against him and his candidacy.
What do you mean Brogdon? Brogdon is not the sixth man?
He's not their first guy off the bench.
Is Quickly their first guy off the bench? What, are you being a little...
How quickly is our first guy off the bench? Usually RJ comes out and quickly subs in.
He's literally the first guy off the bench. And when, when somebody gets hurt, he moves into the starting lineup.
There's no person that's always the same. Yeah, if somebody gets hurt in his position, he moves in the starting lineup.
They could shift things around. I think there's too much of this. He started too many games. Crap.
I mean, I agree with that, of course.
Right.
But like, I don't know. You could argue that Josh Hart's our sixth man since he came to this team. But I do think Quickly deserves the award. Who's more valuable off the bench, Emmanuel Quickly or Josh Hart? Josh Hart. Thank you.
Maybe a little recency bias right there, but
oh, come on, it's so obvious. Who's more valuable to this team off the bench? Josh Hart.
They're both valuable. Craig Quickly does so much though.
He's one of their top defenders.
So Josh Hart is not the most valuable guy off the bench?
No, I'm just saying, but Josh Hart has spent how many games here?
Yeah, I'm not
saying he deserves a Sixth Man of the Year award. I'm just saying right now, I just think it's funny that right now, yes, we all think Emmanuel Quickly deserves the award, but actually, Josh Hart is the best guy off our bench.
No. If you're rating basketball players, though, in this league, Emmanuel Quickly is going to come up above Josh Hart, as he should. I know all the intangibles and the tangible stuff that Josh Hart gives you, but Quickly is a fuller player that embodies so much more. That's going to, you know, he handles the ball. You know, Josh Hart doesn't do that. I know Josh Hart's going to get you offensive rebounds, but okay, so that's five extra possessions you're going to get because Josh Hart hustles his ass off. Super important, but Quickly is controlling, you know, 40 possessions, you know, in this game for you.
I don't know.
You know, because he's the ball handler.
Aren't Josh Hart's numbers even better than Quickly since he came here?
No.
Better than Quickly's? How can that be?
No.
I don't know. Quickly,
over his last eight games, they showed a graphic on ESPN. He was averaging like 28 points.
Yeah, because he was starting.
On like 40-something from three and like...
Yeah, because he was getting starter minutes. Who else do we have? Oh, we didn't listen to Ralph. Ralph only called twice during this game. I apologize, Ralph, because I'm sure you called a bunch over these past couple weeks. But it seems silly to play a bunch of Ralph regular season voicemails when games meant nothing. So, I apologize. One day we will release all the Ralph voicemails just as its own podcast. maybe we need to do that for the season and rewind. It's just an entire show of Ralph. Calls, we could do that. All right, why don't you play Ralph's one call? Here we go. From tonight.
Next win. It was a dog fight.
Wait a second. That was for
Cass May have Donovan Mitchell, but we have got Brunson.
That was after game one.
Yeah.
And that's those are the only disappointment. Times he called.
That sounds like a mid-season
win. That call.
Maybe he's tired.
He's tired of calling and not even hearing his voice on the show.
Dude, I was yelling so loud in my house, and I wasn't calling into anywhere. Nobody was here to listen to it, and I was fucking yelling like crazy.
Everybody does a playoff game differently, Barry. I actually wasn't yelling at all during the game.
Really?
I sit there so nervous the whole game. I do not.
I yelled a bunch of times, man.
Oh, wow. Maybe he had gotten out of hand, and Janie was like, "Ralph, you need to calm your ass down." We don't know. Maybe Janie's
just tired of it all, and she gives him drugs to keep him calm during games.
I mean, I do think it's crazy that he only called in like
once or twice.
But you know,
yeah, I was looking forward to playing a whole slew of Ralph voicemails from tonight. But yeah. One at the beginning saying they were watching, one at the end.
It would have been nice to have heard like how he felt when we went down by one there towards the very end, and then just to hear how he had rebounded from that. But maybe he's got stuff going on, Barry. We don't know what's going on over there.
Maybe it's actually not that enjoyable to be calling and leaving voicemails when you're trying to watch a fucking game.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to.
Would you want to do that? I wouldn't want to do that.
Hell no.
I barely want my, I don't, we don't want our kids to even sit on the couch we're on. He's calling up our voicemail over and over.
Yeah, again. Maybe Janie said, sit down, don't worry about calling them, enjoy the game, and you know.
Enjoy the game, you, let's Ralph, look not- at beautiful Thibodeau. That beard.
Kids is a hottie with that facial hair. Mm.
Plenty, ready to go.
Say what?
a little back and forth.
Yeah. Is that two separate ones or one?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Those are two separate ones.
Wow. All right. Then we got a couple of, I think we have a couple of voicemails from tonight, actually.
Yeah.
Nice.
There we go.
Hey, yo. In the words of Murder Jim, we won.
What?
I don't know, man. This game was really, you know, just, I mean, it's a pretty tough game, and, you know, we still came out on top.
Do you, Brandon?
And,
come on.
You know, Donovan Mitchell basically dropped 40 points on us, but we still won. We still got the W. It's going to be a good series. Looking forward to game two. Hopefully we can get a little more out of Julius. I didn't see him go crazy. That was good. Everybody played well. Hopefully we get more for quickly. But, hey, man, I'm good with the W. Wasn't easy, but it's playoffs, baby. This is B&E Brandon, breaking and entering Brandon.
What?
I don't know. Let's see if it sticks.
B&E Brandon.
Did either one of you get nervous because he brought Brando there when there was that play, I guess, who did he hit in the face? Was it Darius Garland?
No, Isaac Okoro.
Kind of stuck it? Oh, that's, yeah, and then he started to go at the ref a little bit after the timeout.
He comes a little aggressive, yeah.
He comes off very aggressive. I started to worry that we were, you know, that we were going to have an issue, and Barrett was there, and luckily it didn't seem like it became anything.
No, he was under control.
He was upset that he wasn't getting foul calls.
Yeah, but for a second or two, I was worried that he was going to, you know.
Randall was perfectly out of control tonight. The perfect amount of out of control.
Right.
Perfect. Where, like, when he was taunting the crowd at that moment, he's getting under the skin, he's being physical. I mean, that's what you want.
So yeah, he's the Cavs are going to hate Randall because he always does get in those shots that are like very on the borderline of, is it a flagrant foul or is it a basketball move?
A basketball move. You know? Yeah, who did he catch? Was it Okoro that he caught with the elbow?
And then
the
there
face?
Was a couple other times where they didn't call anything and he did the same thing. You know, he's always giving the elbows to these guys. Absolutely.
I mean, he's also a big
most,
dude.
Exactly.
Though.
He's the most imposing physical guy.
He's a huge physical dude.
On that floor. He's massive.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So the Knicks now have a player like that the Cavs will hate. The Cavaliers, however, they're a very likable team. I mean, it's rare that there aren't any like assholes or douchebags on the other team that you're playing. This team doesn't have them. They're a fun team. You know, they're a great team, a likable team. It's you respect them, what they've done this season. It's going to be a hard-fought series. And I think both teams will respect each other, but definitely Randall is going to get under the skin of not only the fan base, but a lot of the players on that team, too.
Oddly enough, that's like a good role for him. You know, like being that guy. He is, like yeah. You said, he is so much stronger than everyone and he's so physical. And he really fits well in that role of being the guy that the other team does not want to see coming down the lane, you know, because he's going to, his arms are big, his elbows are big, his legs are going to.
And sometimes there's guys that'll play like that where they float, you know, they'll flail their arms around hoping to catch somebody, but they're like skinny guys. He's a huge, intimidating dude with a lot of strength that's still doing that. So it's, yeah, I mean, guys are going to start to back down because they're not going to want to catch that.
Well, Evan Mobley weighs about 215 pounds.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Julius Randle could knock him over with a flick of his finger. I mean, he's got nothing on him. I mean, Jared Allen is much bigger, but I mean, come on.
And Jay, you said, were you getting nervous? But like with the way their bench has been playing and just the depth of the team and how well-rounded everyone is and how Obi contributes when he comes in and the way Hartenstein's playing.
I was like, just worried that he was going to lose it. He was going to get a technical. I know, but like, it was just going to spiral from there.
I'm fine towing that line. I'm fine if once in a while he does end up getting out of control because it's not that big of a loss. You know, they can still win the game, even if he did get teed up and get kicked out. Yeah. I like it. I fucking like it, Barry.
Okay, we got one more here, Craig. One more. Why isn't it playing?
Yeah, boys. That's how you do it.
Is that Hope to Pay?
Awesome game. Just incredible that Julius could come back after 17 days off and deliver that kind of performance. And just love the fucking grit that Josh Hart brings to this team. And, I mean, how fucking great is it to have an assassin for a point guard? Woo! Love it. It's good to win game one on the road. Now I get to blow a load. It's a hard-on Knicks leg. Hope to Pay out.
Oh, my God. We're talking playoff blowjobs for Hope to Pay? Is it blowjobs? It's just sex with his wife.
It's right? Just
sex. It's sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think? I wonder if it's... Is it any more special after a playoff win? Must be. Right?
I would think that it is. Right?
Yeah, it should be.
I mean, a win in the middle of January, what is that in terms, you know, compared to a game one of the playoffs?
Yeah, the gravitas that a playoff win holds, absolutely.
Plus a game one playoff win on the road in a year that ends with an odd number.
Yeah, I think you get to go in the third input with that one.
In a Midwestern state.
So. All right. Are those all the voicemails?
Yes, right. That was it.
Y'all hear that music? Is there news tonight? That is the question. Did you put something together?
There's a ton of news, actually.
Oh, please don't tell us there's a ton. A
ton.
Is it audible? Or you're just going to say it, I guess. Can you slim it down?
Yeah, no, I don't have any...
Barry, do you want a ton of news? Would you want a ton of news tonight?
I'll go through quick.
I'll give you the normal amount of news.
Yeah, the normal. Give us the normal amount.
All right, I'll give you a little bit. So we start off just with Andrew Wiggins is back. All that time that he was off, you know, we'd mentioned that a few times. Turns out it apparently was a health issue with his dad. Played in the Warriors game. He's back.
What was the health issue?
Who's not back? Zion Williamson.
Oh, this is Blandy's favorite topic.
Kyrie would usually be my favorite. Well, I think when we talked about this the last time, I think we said he wasn't going to play again this year. And that's when Barry said that Zion weeks are like dog years. Didn't come back. And then if you guys saw those quotes that he had before the game, physically I'm fine now. It's just a matter of when I feel like Zion. I mean...
Yeah, there was another quote that he had where it's like... it was like implying that he's, you know... able enough to play, but he actually said he doesn't want to step on the court if it might sacrifice the play of the team.
I understand the magnitude of these games coming up. I don't want to be out there hesitating or doing something that may affect my team in a bad way.
Dude, you're Zion Williamson. You're a generational fucking talent.
Is he?
How the fuck can you think? Yes, he is.
He still is?
When he's on the court, but he's never on the court.
So put yourself on the fucking court.
When's the last time he played?
January, I think.
And you don't, like...
I mean, he missed the last 4 months of the year with, like, a hamstring injury.
He can't just come back.
Hamstring.
I understand. You don't understand what he's saying.
Craig, did you see him back?
I don't understand what he's saying. I don't understand what he's saying. Yes! It's a play-in game!
And he hasn't played in 4 months.
It doesn't matter. Him at fucking 50% is better, you know, than after... Look, after Brandon Ingram, after CJ McCollum... I don't care if he's at 50%. He's the fucking next guy. Come on.
But 50%? He was dunking the ball. He was throwing down windmills in the pregame. Windmills.
It does not make any sense. What are the...
CJ McCollum came out afterwards.
Doing.
I don't know if you saw what
I don't
he
know
said.
What the Pelicans organization is doing.
Would you want Zion on your team?
This is...
Ever?
Well, ever. I mean, It depends what I'm giving up to get him, Craig.
Would you give up Emmanuel quickly for Zion Williamson?
I can't.
There you go.
He doesn't play. He might as well be Evan Fournier.
One for one, you wouldn't do that.
I can't.
Well, I don't know about that, Barry.
Dude, the guy might not ever play. It doesn't make any sense. He's healthy enough to play and he's not playing.
You wouldn't give up Emmanuel quickly for Zion Williamson. Sense.
It doesn't make sense. Well, Stephen A. Smith said it's starting to look suspicious.
Yeah.
Suspicious? What do you mean? What's going on?
Like, is this, he wants out of New Orleans. He signed his deal, and is this just his way of getting out of there?
Oh, God, where's he going?
I'm sure New York and is, what, you're just is gonna, where he'll
he's
be.
Got, but you can't get anything for him. What can you get for him right now?
I'm sure if they wanted, if Barry they put him on even the market. Give
up a six man for him.
Because I don't know what the fucking story is with him. Jason said in a text like how comical it was, and I said it's tragic, and I really think it is because of how good this guy is.
You can't get on the court. Yeah, this is the quote from CJ McCollum, I guess the day after. Availability is important. We've got to be available. We've got to do what we need to do off the court in terms of preparation, in terms of getting treatment, in terms of getting the right sleep, the right type of hydration, having the right type of diet.
It's been the same story for 3 years.
He talked about how he had a thumb injury the past few months and he put it off for surgery until after the season. No, CJ McCollum.
Oh.
He said, I put it off because I, you know, even though it was affecting my play because, you know, I wanted to make the playoffs. So it was just his way of saying, like, listen, we're all injured.
A thumb injury? What's next? Oh, my God.
How do you injure his thumb? Eating a burrito?
Yeah. His thumb was in the burrito and he ate it?
You know that right type of diet part of that was definitely
injured. He's eating so many hot dogs, he can't even figure out which one's his thumb and which one's the hot dog. He's just fucking all over the place. Oh, my God. Zion. So. No, I agree. I wouldn't trade fucking anybody for him.
Burned his thumb on a Hot Pocket.
He eats so much. He's hurt his thumb. He eats so much. This is ridiculous.
Ja Morant, another one that we talk about a lot, has filed a countersuit against the teenager suing him, accusing the teenager of slander, battery, and assault. So, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, you're a 20-something-year-old man filing a charge against a 17-year-old. Sure. Miles Bridges, the hits keep coming here.
Oh, what a joke
this is. Suspended for 30 games without pay as a result of what happened last offseason. He didn't play at all this year, didn't sign with the team. And the NBA has decided that they're suspending him for 30 games. And because he sat out all this year, they're going to count that as 20 games. So whoever he signs with, he's got to miss the first 10 games next year. It's absolutely asinine. But
is anybody going to sign him?
I'm sure somebody will. Of course they will. Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
Former NBA All-Star Sean Kemp. I guess this is what happens when
they'll do a show in
Florida. Oh, yeah, that's right.
All this fucking news that's old.
It was Friday.
Okay. But the shooting happened like a month ago.
But yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, so I won't tell you that. Forget it. We didn't talk at all about the Mavs, and they're fine.
Oh, yeah, $750,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the league gets the money for the fine, and the Mavs get to keep their pick, and we get shit. So where is there any, like, how does that work?
What was our punishment for Brunson? Did we lose anything?
Yeah, I think we lost, like, a second-round
pick. So why can't they lose a second-round pick for that?
Well, it's a different offense. You know, tampering and tanking are two different things.
Right, but like it directly affected us, and yet we don't get anything out of it. The league gets richer off of it. And $750,000 to Mark Cuban is what? It's
I agree.
It's ashtray.
I agree. What they did was far worse because Brunson could have signed with us anyway. They did something that directly affected the lottery standings. Without a doubt. Brunson, the Knicks spoke to Brunson before? I mean, his father's on the coaching staff. Everybody talks to everyone. Like, it's such a fucking joke that tampering is even a thing.
That shouldn't be a thing. But the Knicks sit at what, like a 15% chance or a 10% chance that the pick can fall to 11?
Something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, in all likelihood, it's not going to fall.
No.
But yeah, I mean, so what are they really... But you got that. I mean, do you want to talk about the finalists for any of the awards? I mean, we know Brunson's up for most improved and Quickly's up for sixth.
Yeah. You're doing it anyway, so. Do you want to talk about the finalists for any of the awards? I mean, you know, we know Quickly's up for sixth.
I only mentioned the two Knicks. That's it. Okay. I mentioned the two Knicks.
Yeah. So tell us.
Oh, jeez. MVP, we got Giannis and Embiid and Jokic. For Defensive Player of the Year, it's Jaren Jackson Jr., Brooke Lopez, and Evan Mobley. Mm. Most Improved, it's Brunson, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Lauri Markkanen. Rookie of the Year, Banchero, Walker Kessler, and Jalen Williams. And then Sixth Man, Brogdon, Portis Jr., and Quickly. Then there's like other stupid shit here, like Clutch Player of the Year. Is since when is that a thing? That's a thing? That's an award now? I think
maybe last year was the first year?
It's an official award. Like, what the hell is that? And who cares about Coach of the Year? No big deal. So. But there you go. That's the way.
There you go.
The basketball bounces.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for today's show. Remember, you can reach out to us. It's thehardknickslife@gmail.com. Call us. Barry, do they want to call us?
Of course they
call
do.
Call us during
Are you
the
kidding
playoffs.
Me? It's the this playoffs,
is the best
dude.
Time of the year to call.
516-33-MESH-1. That's 516-336-3741.
Here's an idea. During the playoffs, when we win, it's going to be a lot, let's face it. Call in with your reaction, your Ralph reaction.
Love it.
Would it not be great to play those at the start of every show?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be winning. Ton.
People being excited.
Yeah, even like your overall impression from the game, as long as you keep it concise.
Or just call in and be a maniac. Just be a maniac for 10 seconds. And we will get you on. Upcoming schedule, Blandy, who's up? Actually, you've been talking for a while, Barry. Who's coming up?
Who's coming up?
Who are we playing? Who are we playing over the next couple of
weeks? Oh, I don't know.
Here?
I'm going to have to pull it up on my phone, Craig.
You don't need to go, by the way, you don't need to go past the next three games.
Three? Can't I just go game two, Tuesday night,
right,
7:30?
There you go.
Game two in Cleveland?
Who are we playing? We're playing Cleveland at Cleveland Tuesday night. All right,
and,
guys.
How can we not? Can we just give a quick shout out to Tom Thibodeau, please? Like the real Tom Thibodeau?
Yes, go do it.
Thank you. Because he's done such a good job this season.
Great job.
He did a great job tonight. You know, he always, like this year at least, he always seems to put the right five guys on the floor. Mm-hmm. When he subbed in, you know, Hartenstein even at the end, and like the guys to close out this game, Grimes, Josh Hart, Brunson, Randall, and Hartenstein just seemed like the right group of guys. It seemed like they might need a little bit of offense. Even though Hartenstein didn't end up contributing on the offensive end, it looked like they might need it because they were down when he came in and Robinson wasn't really giving it to him. He did a really great job of reading the room. Right.
He's been a lot more flexible.
Absolutely. And playing it like he should, not relying on what he used to rely on. He's actually relying on what he sees that particular night and who has it. He's been great.
He does not get enough credit. He's not fun to talk about, you know, but he has created a team here that has
he deserves.
And they're all playing their asses off, and they're legitimately one of the better teams in the fucking NBA. And
he deserves credit because the shit that he was being criticized for before, you can't criticize him for that now. So you got to give him the credit for that shit.
He's got a team that believes in each other. They're all tight. They love each other. You know, like, they've really put together, and he's the reason for it. This is a great team to watch.
It is. And it's a great team. You're right. They play the right way. That's all.
Unreal how far it's gone. All right, guys. Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
It's a heavy breathing right there.
It's a hard Knicks life.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.